T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
Thanksgiving dinner. It's one of the things we all look forward to each and every year. Our birthday. Little cake, candles on top, ever-increasing supply of candles. On top of the cake, we look forward to that. But perhaps there is nothing we look forward to more than our weekly visit with Sean Michael Lyle here at the Voice of St. Louis. Sean Michael, the most fascinating man in the world. How are you, my friend? Your microphone is off.
There you are. I'm fine. I don't do Thanksgiving dinner or celebrate my birthday.
Of course not.
Why don't you do Thanksgiving dinner?
I'd like to say I'm shocked,
but not so much. Because you are a fascinating
man. Well, my wife and I would give thanks every day. Several times a day, in fact.
Hey, now.
You found each other.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, we thank God all the time.
And you found each other in grade school?
I was in high school.
High school?
Yeah.
There you were. So you're in high school, you're studying, and what were you?
No, it wasn't actually in high school. I was in high school,
she was in grade school.
Yeah, and then the police showed up. She's actually a little bit older than I am.
Is that right?
Yeah, speaking of holidays, it was a Christmas carol at the Santa Clara Arena Theater.
There it was.
I was in the cast, led the choir with the guitar.
She was leading the choir with the guitar.
And that's how we met.
And your eyes met across the room.
Something like that.
And then there was the after party. And
we actually went to Taco Bell, which was right next door. Ooh.
Took a run for the border.
This is important. Were you having the crispy tacos at Taco Bell?
At the time, that was the only tacos they had.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
So there they are over tacos, little lettuce, little cheese on top of the.
We also went out to a movie.
Ooh.
A brand new movie that was so much fun. It was Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Is that Steven Spielberg?
That would have been 1980.
No. 77.
77.
Yeah.
There you are.
Is it Richard Dreyfuss? Is that
Yeah, he was in that and Mashed Potatoes.
Holding hands at the movie? Did you slip over there and grab a little something?
You did. Held hands. Yeah, so
that's where it all began.
She was a very good girl and from a very good family, and I couldn't do any of that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what a love story. Taco Bell and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
We had our own Close Encounters, yeah.
Hey, now.
Maybe the fourth or fifth kind at some point.
I didn't know that. Jeez.
And to this day, it's still going strong.
Oh, yeah.
So,
how many years is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, a lot.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
really?
A lot. Yeah.
He doesn't
celebrate his birthdays, buddy. How do you ask him how long he's been married?
Does she know?
I don't know. No, we don't know our anniversary.
You don't?
What?
No, we know that it's not June 12th because my mother got us a silver dish that said June 12th. And we said, is that right? And we checked and it wasn't right. But other than that, I don't know when.
Do you think it could have been like a retread gift she had as she was walking through?
That never occurred to us. Now that you mention it, that could be it. I don't know why she thought it was June 12th.
So if you've been paying attention here, and I hope you have, we know that Sean Michael Lyle is a man of Hollywood. He's a man of the silver screen. He's been an actor. He has been a radio personality in Hollywood. He's studied.
He's been a DJ.
Radio. He's done it all.
I've been a DJ, yeah.
He's done it all. But I learned something tonight as we were chomping on the pizza that, Michael, you so kindly
brought in. Thank you for the pizza.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
You are a backstage presence at some of the biggest musical groups of all time.
Well, yeah, I say backstage because I was at radio stations and we present various people in concert.
Yeah.
And so when we do that, you have winners who you bring
backstage. The contest
winners. The contest winners.
Yes.
And I would bring them backstage. So I was the guy who was backstage.
Wow.
And I would stay backstage generally.
Yeah.
The shows really didn't interest me for a large part.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, for example, I remember ZZ Top.
There they are.
For example.
Little beards are rolling down there.
Yeah, yeah. So there we were in eastern Washington, where the University of Idaho and Washington State University are. And they were doing a concert where Washington State is. And they wanted to know, where can we get some good tacos? So we brought them to
Taco
a place.
Bell.
No, we brought them to a place in Moscow, Idaho. I don't think it's still there, but a little taco shop in Moscow, Idaho. And these are guys from Texas, West
it's
Texas.
It's called the... Cremlinio.
I don't remember what it was. But they were like, wow, there are great tacos in Moscow, Idaho.
ZZ Top.
And ZZ Top. They were fascinated.
They loved the tacos in Moscow.
They did. They did.
Huh.
And because remember the Moscow to Moscow tour, that was the same place with Yakov Smirnoff.
Of course.
Yeah. Alabama.
What a life.
I've talked to the guys from the band Alabama quite a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, backstage with those guys.
Wow.
What happens backstage at a concert?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. People are very quiet and they're just getting ready. There are people who are tuning guitars and handing out guitars.
Yeah, we're going to have to do better than that with a story show.
Okay. Eddie Van Halen.
Yes.
May he rest in peace. Because if he ever got caught by his wife, he would have had to have rested in peace. He had lookouts at his concerts because Valerie Bertinelli, his then wife, used to like to show up unannounced.
Just boom. There she is.
He'd be out in the middle of, wherever it is doing a concert, and she would just fly out there, and then she'd show up, and there she would be. And so he had lookouts, and as soon as she was spotted, then people went scrambling. Beautiful girls were disappearing into the woodwork.
So what we're learning here is that Eddie Van Halen may or may not have been surrounded by beautiful women.
He was surrounded by beautiful
at
women.
At his concerts.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden.
Backstage.
Boom. Valerie Bertinelli
would show up.
And they would scurry like cockroaches when the light comes on.
That's exactly
it. Did you witness the lookouts shooing away, folks?
No, well, she didn't show up, so I never saw them being shooed away. But
a lot of people think that my lovely bride looks like Valerie Bertinelli.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I see it too.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you don't look anything like Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, you don't.
I used to.
What was the name of her TV program?
One Day at a Time. It was Valerie Bertinelli. Let's see if we can do the cast here. So you.
I got a story about that. So I was going home from broadcasting school.
In Hollywood.
It was very late. It was like almost midnight.
Midnight in Hollywood.
I was looking at walking along, and there was this young woman who was looking in the window of a bookstore.
The bookstore window.
Yeah, and the lights were off. And
the lights were off in the bookstore.
And I stood there, and I looked at her.
Yes.
And she was just staring, and she looked at me and smiled.
Staring, and she looked
and so
at
I
Shawn
said to
Michael
her,
and
I said,
smiled.
Hello, Laura.
Laura.
And it woke her up.
Uh-huh.
I think
Laura.
That she may have been under the influence of something at the time.
Laura who?
Well, that's the thing. I knew her first name was Laura.
Yeah.
But everybody else knows her by her middle name, Mackenzie. It was Mackenzie Phillips.
Unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
He knew Mackenzie Phillips by the name of Laura as she looked in a bookstore in the dark in Hollywood. Unbelievable.
And we went across the street and had a hamburger.
Where?
On Hollywood Boulevard, I forgot. It was Jack in the Box.
So you had a hamburger?
Did
you ask her out?
No.
No?
No.
Well, what inspired you to go have a hamburger?
Well, because it was late at night and we were hungry.
I must have been.
We just chatted a little bit. It was the only thing that was open.
In my 59 years on this planet, I have probably been to fast food restaurants maybe 2,700 times.
Mm-hmm.
Never have I met ZZ Top or Laura Mackenzie Phillips. unbelievable.
Yep, and that's that. But Bonnie Franklin never saw
Bonnie
her.
Franklin.
The guy who Pat Harrington never met Pat Harrington.
Huh.
Paul Masur, who was the boyfriend, was actually he was the president of the union, of which I don't know about you, but I am in the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, we're in. Trust us. We're in.
I'm in the union.
We pay the union.
Yeah, he was the Screen Actors Guild union president. So those are the people who are
you know
the show.
Who else was the Screen Actors Guild union president from St. Louis?
Who?
From St. Louis.
Who? Laura Ingalls?
The White Shadow.
Well, Laura, I met her. I talked to her.
Of course he met her.
Yeah. And her husband, too, at the time.
And the horse he rode in on.
Who was from St. Louis?
The White Shadow. Ken, what's his, he was the president of the union. Ken.
I don't know. I wasn't in the union.
I don't even know what the White Shadow is.
PJ looked that up. He was the White Shadow. It was Ken.
Ken Howard.
Ken Howard from St. Louis, Missouri was the president of the Screen Actors.
I did not know that.
Well, we have pulled one off.
No, but Melissa Gilbert.
There she was.
She and I kind of hung out a little bit in Tombstone, Arizona, along with Bruce Boxleitner, who was a really great guy.
Bruce Boxleitner, who played the Incredible Hulk, did he?
Yeah, I don't know. They were married to each other at that time, but yeah.
No, he didn't.
How about
that? That was Bill Bixby.
How long you been in the union?
Just since I came here.
Oh.
Yeah, I was in the Screed Extras Guild back when I lived.
Because he was in the movies, Michael.
This man was in motion pictures.
Yeah. You were sitting next to a famous actor here.
Well, I didn't rate to be in the Screen Actors Guild.
He played the role of...
I was just in the
Extras. Do you still get royalty checks?
No.
He played the
extras
role of...
Never
what's
get
his name in what you call it? What was it? You played the role of... in General Hospital.
Dr. Winston.
Dr. Winston in General Hospital.
Yeah, but that was... That actually, like I said, it was Extras Guild. I didn't rate. If I'd have signed a contract, it would have been under contract.
Did you have to say, like, doctor stuff, like, give me 20 cc's of this and pass me a scalpel?
No. I just stood there and I don't even remember what I said.
Yeah, put him in OR2.
No, Emily McLaughlin was the patient.
There she was.
Yeah, there she was.
That was the nurse. What's her name?
Jesse Brewer.
Yes.
I remembered. Oh my gosh.
There you go.
Now I'm impressing myself.
If you didn't believe me before, you do now. This may be the most incredible man.
I remember
in the
Jesse
world.
Brewer after
Jesse
all these
Brewer
years.
After all these years. Shawn Michael Lyle, and I hate to step away. It almost pains me to walk away from the Taco Bell and what was the other restaurant? Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box.
With these famous
He's
celebrities.
He's a big spender, right? He's one of the Taco
It was the only the only lights that were on Hollywood Boulevard at the
time. Hey, you want to go to White Castle?
No.
Oh, okay.
When we come back, Braxton Payne, what's trending? That's next on KOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're on the 1-2.
Two for two.
It's Hancock and Kelly on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It's Hancock and Kelly on the greatest radio station in the world. You know it is KMOX, and every week at this time, we go to the celebrity guest line to visit with our own Braxton Payne.
He is.
Hello, BP. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Calling from my lovely bedroom. You know, it's a little late tonight, I feel.
No, TMI, Braxton. TMI.
Now, you live in one of the old houses in South City. We've been having this 100-degree weather. Has the sun been baking that red brick in your house, and is it now tolerable to be upstairs?
Yeah, it's not been too bad. You know, luckily I have a decent air conditioner. I have a lot of ivy on my house, which helps to protect, which is actually coming down tomorrow. So it will turn back into a brick oven here very soon.
What'd the ivy do to you?
Well, you know, it ruins the tuck point in. You know, nobody wants to pay $50,000, $60,000 to get, you know,
Is that what it
brick
costs?
That is 120 years old.
What does it cost to get the ivy off of that thing?
Only about $800 to $1,000. Well, not too bad.
What a prudent decision for a homeowner.
John, yeah, you wouldn't even hire anybody to take the ivy off. You'd just say, hey, Georgianne, get off.
She's
here,
amazing.
Take that ivy
She's
off.
Amazing what this woman does.
Get up on the third floor and tuck it down.
She got a couple like limbs off the tree up high the other day. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Was this ivy intentionally grown in your house by your previous owners? Or did it just happen?
It just happened. When I moved in, there was some, there's some in the neighborhood in South City. It's kind of a common occurrence. If if it's in the ground, it grows quick. And so it just keeps growing up and up.
You know what goes quick as well? Trends. And this is our favorite segment we do every week. We call it What's Trending. Come on, BP, let's go.
What's Trending?
So we got four spectrum of options here. Good old intense research before this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll give you guys some four options. Some are a little bit more fun than the others. So we got Choco Taco, Robin Roberts, Soldier Field, and FDA.
All right, I'm going to pick one. You pick one. But since we talked about tacos with Shawn Michael Lyle, I think we ought to talk about Choco Taco.
Let's do it.
What's a Choco Taco?
So Choco Taco has been around for about 40 years. It's an ice cream treat. It's like a waffle cone that's in the shape of a taco, has ice cream in it, and then it's drizzled with chocolate. You've never heard of it?
No. I've never seen it.
The internet is not happy today because they're discontinuing it since they've been in service for the last 40 years. So no longer, no more. And I guess you guys have never had it. It was one of my favorite desserts growing up. Which really brought me to my question of when you guys were summer by the pool or, the sprinkler system, what was your favorite dessert that you would have when your mom would call you in, around 3 o'clock?
Got a better memory than that, but similar to what you're talking about. It used to be when all of a sudden you'd hear that cling, 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 and you'd hear it from
the ice cream truck
blocks away.
Yeah.
And then it would get closer and it would get stronger.
Yeah.
And it was the ice cream man.
Yeah. Now they play The Entertainer by Scott Joplin.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. It was a simple choice for me. It was the Bomb Pop.
Yes.
That's what I got, John Hancock.
The red, the white, and the blue.
The Bomb Pop was the bomb. It's the whole reason I would chase it. And you know what? Those guys were jerks. They would keep driving for a little while when they saw you running behind
and
the truck.
You're sweating and you want the Bomb Pop.
Uh-huh.
I used to walk from my campsite at Boy Scout camp. And I didn't like to walk.
Uh-huh.
And I would walk to the PX, which was a far, far long
for
way
you,
away.
About 100 yards, right?
It was huge. Yeah, I mean, it was a long walk.
Uh-huh.
But I'd get the Bomb Pop.
The Bomb Pop.
And I'd eat that Bomb Pop.
Yep.
And the little nipple on top.
Right.
Remember
on top? And was it gone before you got back to camp?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's a long walk.
Yeah. And then your mouth had the blue.
It was on the bottom.
And the red on your tongue.
So it was a red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
The red was on the top, and you had the little, thing on top there, a little dome, we'll call
it. Right, the dome.
And then you had the white section, which was kind of tasted like pineapple, maybe?
Yeah. And then the blue.
And then the blue, yes.
And then your tongue would be blue for the next 2 hours.
Your cheeks and your lips and everything is blue, and it's wonderful.
How about that, Rex? And Choco Taco to Bomb Pops.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite was the strawberry cheesecake. That was my favorite.
Come on, Rex. Come on.
I like strawberry cheesecake.
Yeah. Like
don't they call that New York cheesecake?
Yeah, it's a...
Yeah,
it's not a Bomb Pop.
But I also like... The best part about cheesecake is the graham cracker crust.
Yes.
You agree, Braxton?
Oh, I love graham crackers. I mean, we would eat graham crackers just solo growing up.
Now, the graham cracker by itself, at least to me, leaves me wanting.
Yeah, you want ice cream
or
something.
I want a cheesecake with it.
Yes.
Yeah, I just eating a graham cracker, because you got the stuff.
Right.
But you put that sucker underneath a little cheesecake and some strawberries.
Yep. Oh. Confession. Oh. When I'm eating pie, if it's like a cherry pie or an apple pie, I eat the crust part first. On the back end. But unless it's cheesecake, I save that because it's all graham cracker crust.
Yes.
That's my favorite part, so I save that until the end.
Yeah, but you still have 100%. To have some cheesecake with the graham cracker crust. You can't just eat the graham cracker crust because it's like eating a graham cracker,
which is, point.
You know.
Why don't you pick the next topic?
Oh, Braxton, I'm sorry. We have digressed.
I think since we're on the topic of food, the FDA might be a good transition here for that.
The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration.
What is trending about the FDA?
Yeah, so I was curious. So I clicked on it, and it was nothing that I even thought was going to be. So there's this chef on TikTok, which is a social media app that's blown up in the past, 4 years or so. And this woman, her name's Chef P. She lives in Florida, and she's been selling this. She calls it pink sauce, right?
The pink sauce
apparently is a dragon fruit styled dipping sauce. And she's been putting it over chicken tenders, French fries, things like that. And she's been selling it out of her kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And, what is dragon fruit? Today,
dragon fruit is kind of like a sweet but savory. It's a fruit. Uh-huh. So it's like kind of like that kind of flavor. And apparently she's been mixing it with, some type of mayonnaise. So it kind of has like a little sweet, tangy flavor to it.
I think this is the stuff you take to make you throw up if you have ingested poison.
I drank it for my colonoscopy.
Uh-huh.
And so it looks like Pepto-Bismol, but she's been making a lot of money on TikTok. Uh-huh. And a lot of people are saying it's kind of like ranch dressing. It's kind of like fancy sauce, which is what I call fancy sauce, is half ketchup, half mayonnaise. So something similar to that. What I think is interesting is the reason that this is trending is that a lot of people have been getting sick from that.
Ding, ding, ding. Here.
From this pink sauce, she called it.
Yeah.
And the reason that they're getting sick, and, she's on this TikTok, she's explaining, I'm refunding everybody that you got sick or the packaging's messed up. Well, and then somebody in the comments said, is this approved by the FDA?
Uh-oh.
And she said, I don't know what the FDA is.
Uh-oh.
So she's been selling this, and she says later her management team says she misspoke and all this stuff, but she didn't know that what the food was in the Food and Drug Administration. And apparently, this is all legal for her to do, which I thought was interesting.
Well, she's been manufacturing vomit sauce now for however long, and wow,
dragon fruit. Yeah, so I wonder where dragon food even grows.
It's on a tree.
Yeah. Well, apparently in the state of Florida, as long as you don't have $250,000 worth of sale a year, there's a thing called a cottage food law where as long as it's low risk, you can sell it out of your home without the FDA's approval.
Huh. Well, you know what? We ought to see if she'll franchise to us, and we could do $250,000 worth of cottage food sales, and we could kick back a percentage to her.
By the way, cottage cheese is the worst.
You think we're all communists and socialists. I just came up with a capitalistic idea
We're way over time here, Michael.
We are?
Yeah.
Braxton. You back with us next Monday?
Good. Yes, I will talk to you.
And then we also have Glover coming up. We're going to do Glover for a whole week.
We should have What's Trending with Glover.
Yeah, we'll do What's Trending every day with you on Glover.
All right.
Does that sound good?
Sounds great, guys.
That's what the 2nd through the 5th or the 1st through the 5th of August.
Yeah, pay attention to the calendar. Cottage cheese.
What?
It's disgusting. We'll talk about that next here on KMOX.
See Brex.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Welcome back. KMOX. So, yeah, baby, that's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. We'll take you all the way to 10 o'clock.
So, in my...
Those are my Shawn Michael Lyle DJ voice.
Yeah, that's not good. In my learned opinion, and, I don't know a lot about many things.
Uh-huh, clearly.
But I have a long and deep and passionate relationship with food.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't think that would be too surprising to many.
And there may be nobody that really understands food as I do.
Mm-hmm.
I've been eating it for many years. Lots of it.
Right.
Lots and lots of it.
Yeah.
And
growing boy.
In my learned opinion, there is one worst food ever created in the history of mankind.
Broccoli.
No.
Quiche.
Cottage cheese.
Braunschweiger.
Cottage cheese.
Oh. What's your problem with cottage cheese?
Well, it's spoiled. It's ruined.
It's not
spoiled. It's, what do you call that, PJ?
Curds.
It's girdled milk is what it is. And a little pellets of crap. and you got little pellets of crap in a sauce.
It's delicious.
It's horrible.
Now listen, you're not eating it right. You need to put a little salt and pepper and
why would you
on it.
Do anything to it?
Cut up some cucumbers and you throw that over the top of it.
There were moments in college where that very substance came pouring out of my mouth at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
I don't think that was cottage cheese.
Well, it looked very much like it and smelled like it, if you want to know the truth.
436-7900,
1-800-925-1120. If you find cottage cheese to be as offensive as do I, we would love to hear from you. Or if you somehow have come here from some other planet and you find cottage cheese to be a appealing thing to put in your mouth. We'd love to hear from you at 436-7900.
Is it the texture you don't like?
I don't like the texture.
What about avocados? Do you like avocado?
I'm warming up to avocados.
So the texture of an avocado is usually what aggravates people.
Yeah, it's kind of slimy.
Yeah.
But I can deal with it. So I've really grown into guacamole.
Guacamole.
Which is made out of the
avocado,
as you say.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I've warmed up to avocados. And I even put a tomato on a sandwich yesterday.
Yeah, because when we order sandwiches,
no tomato.
He'll be in the other side of the room of the office. No tomato. What's your problem with tomatoes?
Because they look like they're in the larval stage. I mean, you got the little juicy and the stuff floating around. I mean,
but you don't like the taste of
like
them either?
An amoeba. I'm warming up to the taste of the tomato.
Well, here's what I don't get. You're clearly a man who's tasted quite a bit of food in your life. Tomato is the basis of one of America's favorite foods, Italian food. In fact, we had tomato this evening.
Oh, the tomato sauce. Tomato sauce, phenomenal.
Yeah, but the actual tomato. Have you ever had like beefsteak tomato with the cheese and the onion?
I've seen it. It's just the tomato itself. It's just sitting there, and it's orange or red or whatever it is, and the stuff in the wagon wheels or the spokes or whatever those things are called.
Yeah, little seeds.
You get the stuff floating around.
It's larva-like, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it looks like an amoeba floating around in there.
An amoeba, like an octopus,
Yeah. Nobody wants that.
Now, see, that's something I don't like. Octopus. Oh. Calamari's fine because it's fried, and I know that's octopus, but you ever go to a restaurant where they are serving octopus?
Yeah.
And they bring it out, and it looks like a baby's arms laying on the table there. It's just, like an inch thick, and it's like...
I don't like to eat anything that looks like it looked when it was living.
Really?
Yeah. So they bring the fish with the eyeballs out, for example.
Don't like that either.
No. I mean, I don't want my food looking at me saying,
I had dinner last
doing?
Night at Brasserie in the Central West End. Great restaurant. Yeah, French restaurant. Yeah. I had the trout, and they cooked the trout. It's perfect. It's the best meal in St. Louis right now.
At the Brasserie.
Not my favorite restaurant, but the best meal in St. Louis is the trout at Brasserie. I'm telling you. It's incredible.
What did they do to the trout?
Lemon. They've got a little lemon on there. They've got a little oil,
garlic, olive oil,
a little bit of garlic. Capers are in there.
Ooh, now the caper.
But the trout, it's a freshwater fish.
Yeah.
But they leave the skin on it. I don't eat the skin. Some people eat the skin.
They do.
But it just peels right off it. I mean, the fillets just come right off.
So why not take it off beforehand?
Yeah, that would be my preference. Yeah. But, I don't know. See, but I'm with you.
Eyeballs,
I don't like.
Are the eyeballs in the trout?
But it doesn't bother me to do that with, like, crab and lobster. Does it do you to, like, crack the shells and stuff? Because that looks like the animal when it was alive.
Well, sort of. I mean, you don't have the whole thing going on with the lobster.
Yeah. It's interesting you have a problem with the tomato, but you like an egg. Will you eat a hard-boiled egg?
Oh, yeah.
Now, an egg, like, you want to talk about a real-life, like, that's essentially an ovary or an egg, right? I mean, it's really a filthy thing if you think about it.
Not hungry anymore.
In comparison to, at least a tomato is born out of the ground.
It does.
Yeah.
And so is an egg.
Did you ever
see
the
get the egg, it's right there on the ground.
Did you ever see the George Carlin skit where he talks about the bravest man in the world?
No.
And you go, we can find it. But he would say the bravest man in the world was the first guy who looked at a cow and said, I'm going to go over there and drink whatever comes out of those things hanging down from her. And you know what? If you think about it, he's pretty much right. It is a weird concept.
Well, but milk is the mother's...
Yeah, but I don't like milk. I love ice cream.
You don't like milk.
I'm obsessed with ice cream, but I will not drink milk.
You don't drink milk?
No. Absolutely not. Huh. Don't even like it in my coffee.
Huh.
Yeah.
Not a little half and half in the
coffee? No, I don't want any of that. But I love ice cream. So I'm such a hypocrite when it comes to it because I'm like, oh, Terry, that's nasty.
The best
I'm drinking
meal,
the milk of another animal, another mammal.
The best meal
what?
With which to drink milk.
Macaroni and cheese?
Lasagna.
Lasagna?
Yes.
Do you have
milk with lasagna there, PJ?
I don't have milk ever.
Huh. Yeah, I drink red wine with
lasagna. That's why you people don't have bones like I have. I mean, just look at these bones over here. I don't like to talk.
You're a guy who won't eat a tomato.
I got some good-looking bones.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you can get to them through the other stuff. But but I got some good-looking bones over here and there. And why? Because I drink a lot of milk.
So if PJ and I have you over for a Sunday night dinner one night, we slice up some tomatoes and we put the cottage cheese there, you're just turning around and leaving?
It's disgusting.
Really?
Disgusting. Why would they even sell cottage cheese? And who eats it? Nobody. That's who.
Bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich.
Yes.
You can eat that.
Except for the tomato.
So you just get a bacon and lettuce sandwich?
With mayonnaise.
But no tomato?
No tomato.
You pick the tomato off.
I never put it there in the first place. Why would you do that? Because it's got the stuff. But the mayonnaise is key. And the toast. If you're going to go there, Michael.
Uh-huh.
So the toast
is the most important part.
Yes, you cannot overcook the toast. Many people make the mistake of making crispy toast. So that it's crunchy and the flakes are going everywhere and the pieces and the crust. And no. You want the toast to be lightly toasted so that it's pliable, so that it's very bread-like with just a little bit of cook going on there.
So what color are we talking about? Are we talking about white with just a couple spots of brown, or are we talking cardboard color?
Oh, we're talking white with a couple of spots of light brown.
Uh-huh.
And so that the toast itself is still very pliable.
Yeah.
And you put
the bread is pliable, but the outside is a little crunchy.
And then, no, you don't want a lot of crunch.
Okay.
You just want it toasted, lightly toasted.
Uh-huh.
These people put the toast in the toaster, and it comes out like you could barbecue a steak on that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
Where are you at on bacon, the bacon part? Like, do you like, I hate limp bacon. Like, I want my bacon crisp and firm. I want to be able to hold it up almost like a ruler.
No.
No, you want it jiggly and stuff? That's nasty.
No.
It's all fat you're eating.
And it's all crunchy, after
fat
stuff
too, but it's at least it's a little, saltier and tastes better than that limp bacon.
You want your...
Like when you go to one of these hotels and they have it all laid out, I can't eat that bacon because it's not cooked at all far enough.
I want my eggs. I want my scrambled eggs cooked.
Yeah.
I want my bacon pliable.
Don't like scrambled eggs either.
And there you go.
I don't like scrambled eggs.
All right, how did we get on this? I have no
idea. You were complaining about cottage cheese.
Well, when we come back, we have one last little segment with you, and then it's the best of Glover, and then it's something
after
that.
Our American story.
It is our American stories. And
then we repeat the whole thing again tomorrow with total information.
Unbelievable. And then, but when we come back, we're going to tell the story of Branch Rickey.
Yes, I was asking you about him earlier this evening.
That's next.
You'll learn.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX. It's Hancock and Kelly. We'll take you to the top of the hour here. But before we get out of here, we were having an interesting conversation playing pool today. John Hancock, you were teaching me some history about Branch Rickey.
Yeah,
obviously one of the most influential. Well, there was a documentary on about Jackie Robinson, and Branch Rickey was, I guess, best known for that. But here in St. Louis, he's known for essentially creating our logo.
Yeah, many things. So Rickey was a catcher in the early 20th century, and not particularly great catcher. And he ended up in the front office with the St. Louis Browns, and then the front office with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he managed the Browns, and he managed the Cardinals. And all the while, he was gaining baseball acumen, and a very smart guy. And he ends up as today would be called the general manager of the St. Louis Cardinals.
He's kind of credited with making that position exist, right?
Yeah, he's probably the prototype for the modern-day general manager, making trades, negotiating contracts, putting the team together on the field. And so at the time, the Browns were the better team in St. Louis through the 19-teens and into the early 20s. And the Browns had some very talented ball clubs, but because the Yankees were so good in that time, the Browns never really made it very far. They never made it to the postseason. But they owned the Browns, owned the stadium, Sportsman's Park, and the Cardinals leased the stadium from them. And Ricky made that deal. It was a good business deal because the Cardinals didn't have any responsibility for maintenance and upkeep of the stadium. And they took that money that they would have been plowing into the stadium that they played in, and they developed a farm system. They started putting minor league teams in place. Cardinals were the first team to do that. Revolutionized the game of baseball. And by 1926, the Cardinals then won their first World Series in the team history, and Branch Rickey largely credited with doing that. And it was a real forerunner in the game of baseball.
Boy, it sure sounds like it. And you were telling me that he stumbled upon, in Ferguson, Missouri, of all places, the idea of the birds on the bat.
So he was speaking at the Presbyterian Church in Ferguson, Missouri, somewhere back in those days. And he was the cardinal guy, and it was the women's club, the women's luncheon. And he came, and one of the women had made centerpieces for the tables, and they had little cardinal birds put in amongst the flowers. And Ricky saw that, and he said, wow, I like that. And he came back, he took a centerpiece back to the office, and from there, they developed the logo that we know today, two birds on a bat with a C wrapped around the bat for Cardinals.
How about that?
And so Branch Rickey is the reason we have the birds on the bat logo.
What do you think Branch Rickey would think of that ugly powder blue uniform that the Cardinals wear sometimes?
You don't like that.
I don't like it. It's the 80s color. I get it. I grew up with it. It was the 82 World Series color. Even in the 85, Jack Clark looked like a weirdo in it. He looked so much better in white. But they would put them in that powder blue.
I love the powder blue.
You like the powder blue?
I do like the powder blue.
But, Jeske, you watch more Cardinal baseball than both of us combined. You like the powder blue?
They're okay, but I prefer the cream alternate.
Oh, the
Those
Saturday.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
I liken the powder blue jersey and uniform that the Cardinals wear.
Yeah.
To the 1990s
with the red,
St. Louis Blues
with the
jerseys
diagonal stripes.
With the red and the diagonal. It was just horrible. It was like they were trying to be too cute and they messed it up.
But it looks better from a nostalgic standpoint now, I think, though, that those Blues uniforms.
Yeah, they wore those every game back in the day.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the powder blue. I do like that off-white color.
Brett Hull was scoring 86 goals a year wearing that red stripe diagonal thing. So.
And I like the blue cap we wear. You know, the blue cap, they wear that on Sundays.
Yeah, with the Cardinal on
with
the bill.
Cardinal, mm-hmm. With the Cardinal, and he's on the bat.
Front of the cap.
Now, the Cardinal logo I like the best. I mean, obviously, outside of our regular old Cardinal one that we all wear on our chest, I like the angry bird, you know, where he's got the ball in his hand and he looks like he's peering in, you know.
Yeah.
He's the angry bird, I call him.
So Branch Rickey went on. And,
I'm sorry. We've got to go back to that story. I was
trying to tell a story.
I was trying to take us back into this century.
Going over whatever.
Go ahead.
So he ended up as the general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers in 1947. He signed Jackie Robinson and brought him up to the big leagues and therefore transforming Major League Baseball for all time in memoriam. And had a great career there in Los Angeles, finished up his career in baseball with the Pittsburgh Pirates, moved back to Missouri, which is where
listen to this part. Yeah.
And in 1965, he was invited to give a speech to a group in Columbia, Missouri.
No, he was being inducted into the Missouri State Sports Hall of Fame.
That's right, and in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
And he was giving a speech. He was telling a story about leadership, and Ricky was a devout Christian. And he was about to tell, he said, I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible. And at that point, he grabbed his chest, couldn't speak any longer, collapsed, and he had a heart attack, massive heart attack, was in a coma for some number of days, and then passed away in 1965, one of the greatest baseball innovators of all time, from St. Louis, Branch Rickey.
Well, on that happy note, I get to say that we're at the end of the show today. That's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. You can see us Friday right there at KMOX at 8:30. We look forward to talking to you then right here on KMOX.
See y'all.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.